Amen. All right. Well, here we go. Nothing quite beats the energy in the first class, right? You get the full attendance. You get the latecomers like Jerry Joy. Everyone look at Jerry Joy, right? Nothing quite beats that. So very, very exciting. Lots starting this morning, so we're excited together. Want to dig in. So foundations of the faith. That's what this slot is. 9 to 10 a.m. on Sunday morning. And maybe you're asking, maybe you already know, what is Foundations of the Faith? What is it that you're sitting in here? Why did you come earlier to church this morning? Foundations of the Faith. This slot is an equipping class ministry at Westmount Bible Chapel to equip the saints for the work of the ministry for building up the body of Christ. This is one of the ways, not the only way, one of the ways that we make disciples. Sunday morning, we have the word preached and we sing together. Lord's Day service has its own mission and mandate. But these classes, like others through the week, are designed to make disciples, to equip you and me and us for the work of the ministry. Ephesians 4:12. Turn there. Someone read that. Ephesians 4:12.
To equip his people for work and service so that the body of Christ may be built up.
So you, yeah, build up the body of Christ. You see that he gave certain people to the church, certain giftings, apostles, prophets, evangelists, shepherds, and teachers. And what is the responsibility? To equip the saints for the work of the ministry, for building up the body of Christ. And then, Laura, just read verse 13 too. Note this.
And we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ.
So you note the progression here. So whatever has brought you to this room this morning, you are being sanctified. You're in process. Some of you have been saved for years and years, and believe me, you may feel this morning we're back to the ABCs of Christianity, and so we are. Some of you are newly saved. These things are new, maybe even foreign to you, and that's wonderful too. What a blessed blend in the body of Christ. And with that, we would say this: it is an equipping class, but it differs in purpose and often content to our midweek evenings together. Now, this is a little more philosophical as a church. We look to equip you on Wednesday nights, if you're familiar with that. And yes, this is a unashamed plug for Wednesday evenings to come at 7 o'clock p.m. We do different series and studies that are very different to what we're doing today. We're going to talk about what goes on in this classroom. But these are just some of the series we've done on Wednesday nights. Everything from the spiritual disciplines to a right biblical view of wellness to thinking rightly. If you're of my generation, we were not taught to think. We were just given information and told to believe it. So we think about the mind of Christ that we have. We did a series where it was, what is the mind of Christ? What does it mean to think with the mind of Christ? And right down to the prophets, a study in the prophets. So Wednesday nights gets a little more topical. We tend to focus at times on cultural things that engage a Christian. We tend to focus on topics, and you'll particularly see this fall in Genesis. I'll mention this morning. Genesis is overwhelming. So we need Wednesday nights to cover with robustness all that we're going to get to. People have been asking me a theology of pets, an understanding of the curse, men and women. You can imagine, unless we're here all day on a Sunday, there's so much to cover, right? So Wednesday nights allows us to go deeper with those things. So that's the what. Why Foundations of the Faith? So we're distinguishing between the two. So what is going on in here and why this class? I need some help here. Someone grab Colossians 1:9. Someone, who's got that? Let's grab a hand there so I know we've got Tyler's on the case. Hebrews 5:11 to 14. Nathan, that's great. Ephesians 4:11 to 14. Who's got that? Anne, perfect. One after another, read them, and I think you'll grab the sense in each of those. Go for it.
Colossians 1:9. And so, from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding.
So what is Paul's prayer for the Colossians? If you have Colossians 1, what's his prayer?
To be filled with wisdom and understanding.
Yeah, that they would grow in wisdom and understanding. Beloved, a lot of things, and you've probably heard this a lot if you've been at Westmount, it is amazing to hear the buzz of fellowship here. Isn't that great? That's not a terminus. We are here to enjoy each other, amen and amen, but to grow in the knowledge and understanding of Jesus Christ. We don't want to make the same mistakes that many make to just make it a religious social gathering. We are here, you are here, David and I, our mandate, the teachers in these classes, is to grow you in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. That means, like all growth, right? Sometimes it'll be uncomfortable. Sometimes it'll be a stretch. And every time it will be very good, right? Because we're growing in the right direction. Who's got Hebrews then? Nathan, was that you? Go for it.
About this we have much to say, and it is hard to explain since you have become dull here. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the basic principles of the oracle of God. You need milk, not solid food, for everyone who lives on milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, since he is a child. But solid food is for the mature, for those who have their powers of discernment trained by constant practice to distinguish the good from evil.
Now this is to the Hebrews. Men and women will be studying that this fall. This specific audience. But in principle, what's going on? What is the charge of the author of Hebrews? What's he saying that has happened to this group in that passage? Anne?
They are immature instead of growing in their faith.
Yeah. And in one sense, look at it with me, there's no excuse for it, right? And beloved, we love you, and we would say this, there is no excuse for us to be immature Christians. Is that fair? We have never had access to the Word of God like we do. We have never had so much time to be together, be equipped, and grow. There is no excuse. So we want to feel the weight of that as we go into these classes to say, yes, I was saved into a religious environment that said, well, I'm just not a book guy. I'm just not one of those Bible guys. I just don't know. And I would say this to myself a number of years ago. That's unacceptable. As if God said, I'm just going to make a few people to really know and love the Word of God. But you can proclaim my name and say that the Bible's not for me. That's not what's going on here. Here is what we take. We take that exhortation from this text that we should be growing, right? There's a sense where we don't want to be taught again because we've been in neglect. We want to be taught anew and growing in it because we're constantly growing in the knowledge of God. And finally, Ephesians 4, 11 to 14. We read that already, but let's read those full verses. We read 12 and 13 for the full scope.
So Christ himself is the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves, and blown here and there by every wind of teaching, and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming.
Is in a discussion this week, an ongoing discussion about what the purpose of the church is. When you think about discipleship, evangelism, missions. And I would submit to you one of the common thoughts and philosophies over the past few years is just get a tract in their hand, just share the gospel. There's nothing wrong in one sense with that, but we have made that the terminus, have we not? Well, I sold one today, I'm off to Home Depot, right? I'm done, I kind of did the thing. No, the call is to what? Make disciples. So I would submit, it's like inviting someone into your house and they stand on that first mat and you say, I hope you're happy there. And you're kind of going about the house like, come on in, enjoy the kitchen, enjoy the rooms, be fed.
We have a philosophy where people are standing in the front hallway and they're unsure what to do. And they're like, well, I guess I'm going to go. Make disciples. So this is why foundations, right? A rich, deep, equipping understanding. And listen, by the way, this is not just as we're imparting it to others. This is for you and me, right? This is for our Tuesday afternoon, our Friday morning, that thing on Saturday. It's for us as we look to grow and deal with life together. Beloved, does that make sense? Any questions, any thoughts on that? Because I will tell you, as I've experienced recently, this is very antithetical to the way that people are doing church these days, right? Any thoughts? Does it make sense? I can sure we're at least clear on that.
What I get from this is that the truth is so maligned nowadays, and there's no such thing in the world what is truth.
Yeah.
But this is so important, especially in the church, what's going on in churches. Mm-hmm. So this, the whole word of God is for equipping us with the truth.
Amen.
So we can go forward and stay strong.
Yeah.
Have a foundation on the rock.
Yeah, amen, Linda. That's really good. Really good. That is exactly it. But here's the thing, and I think a lot of people would amen to what Linda just said. Many, even outside this room. But it's what that looks like in practice is where we come off the rails. Jerry.
Could you please repeat what Linda said?
Oh, she's just saying this is why we've been given the Word of God, the rock, the truth, the foundation, that this is what Christians should know and believe. That's kind of like, if I hear you, Linda, the marching orders. My suggestion to you about that is we all agree on that. But where we differ, sometimes inadvertently, is the implications of it. It's almost as if I have a rock of truth and it's sitting on my shelf, but man, I got a busy week. I got a real busy week. Jane.
I was connecting with someone recently who told me that as in church, if they wanted to be able to have a deeper spiritual study, they'd just do it on their own because they weren't able to get that church.
Yeah.
And so, but it sounds like in scripture that in order for us to grow as a church, we need to have good teachers to help us, and that we can't do it on our own.
That's right. Okay. Just to repeat it, in case anyone heard Jade, that's a great point. Jade's saying having teachers in the local church is the point with what we've just read, because she was talking to someone who's doing a study on their own. And we need help, right? If we're looking to do it on their own. Even more, Jade, I want to add to your point. Yes, we do need the local body. That adds accountability and support. Listen to me. How do cults start? Mike has a good idea. Tyler has a good idea. And they go off, right? And they start their own group. That's how cults start. I need, Jerry needs, the teachers need, David and I need the accountability, not only of this church, but the saints that have gone before us. That is why I was having another conversation this week with someone really wrestling with the authority of the local church. It is not to put on robes and drink Kool-Aid. It is to stand in the line of the saints and make sure that I'm not getting this wrong. My family knows this week, and maybe you see it on my face, I am crippled with the weight of beginning to teach Genesis. And my prayer is, dear God, let me get this right. Because souls are at stake. And you pray that for me, right? This is why this is not a flippant thing. This is not Jason's version of Christianity or Jade on your point. Let's go, you know what, Maya, Nathan, let's just do our own thing. Because I don't really like what Jerry's teaching. No, we need the accountability of the local church to equip, and there's the marching orders, Linda, you're right, right there in God's word, to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. Good. Jade, any other thoughts on that? Okay, let's talk about this slot. One foundation slot, two foundations classes. It's funny, was it Robert? You and I were talking this week, and I just had to joke with Robert. We're not trying to confuse you with the titles here. What's foundations? What's frameworks? What's fundamentals? Foundations is this slot, and there's two classes in this slot. There's another class going on the balcony. It's frameworks, which I'm going to explain to you in a moment. But it is the name of this ministry that's in this slot. Let's talk about this class first. Fundamentals here at Westmount is a core course. It's the base layer that helps the Christian in your pursuit of knowledge and understanding. We just read that in Colossians 1:9. It is a simple, accessible, foundational systematic theology class. Beloved, we're not looking to do anything fancy here. We never are. We're not looking to reinvent a wheel.
We're looking to teach, right, the saints that John would have taught Polycarp, that Augustine taught those with him, right? The reformers, that we're just simply looking to join that stream of teaching the basic truths of the faith. That's what this class is. Hence, the fundamentals. What is frameworks? Well, frameworks is like a next step course. It takes place in the same slot. It's going on the balcony. And we would call it the next layer after fundamentals. Listen, this is not some exclusive thing. It's a logical thing. Both courses are open to everyone. But logically, frameworks is designed for those that have gone through the fundamentals at least once, preferably twice. So it's the next step in the journey. So does that make sense, first of all, by the way, between the two, if you have questions? We have our core base, if you're discerning membership, fundamentals. If you're new to the faith, fundamentals. If you hear, I look at some of you for a booster shot. You're like, wow, I haven't gone through this in a while. I'm here, rolling up my sleeve, so to speak, right? Does that make sense? Versus frameworks is the next layer. This is the next layer of that. And we'll talk a little bit more about that in a moment. Okay, so why fundamentals of the faith? This should now be, I put this question here because it should be self-evident. It has two primary goals. I've mentioned these, new to the faith, young in the faith, never taught the fundamentals of the faith. That's one. And then two, the booster for all that have taken this course before. And here you can see, as we look at the lessons, why it is fundamental. Today we're going to begin our bibliology, the study of the Bible. We're going to look at theology proper, which is simply another way to say the study of God. A Christology, the study of Christ. Soteriology, the study of salvation. Pneumatology, study of the Holy Spirit. Those all come from root words, by the way. Greek words that just basically explain the doctrine, that give you a sense of the doctrine. And ecclesiology, ecclesia, called out ones, the study of the church. Don't be thrown off by those names. These are doctrines that are important and pillars for the Christian. And you may not know them in this sense, but you know, believe you me, if you're a Christian, you've been exposed to it. Take ecclesiology. You all have been exposed to an ecclesiology. It could be just, let's meet in my dining room on Sunday mornings and we're going to live stream a guy talking to us. That's an ecclesiology. That's a belief about church, right? Versus some other understanding and belief about what the church gathers to do. So what we endeavor to do here in Fundamentals, and I hope you see this, so we'll get into this workbook in a moment, go into the scriptures and have them define for us what these things are. You will get a lot of definitions in the world. And by the world, by the way, I mean the Christian world, about what these doctrines mean and what our hope and prayer is. And I love those that are interacting with us, teachers, say, hey, I have a question about this. Do that. We want to root it in the Word of God. Does that make sense? Okay. Topics also. So those are the core main pillars here, the topics we'll go through. Next week, we begin our surveys, Old Testament, New Testament survey. Just if you're new to the faith, I know for me, when I was a new Christian, it was overwhelming. Are there 66 books? And I'm hearing other people, they've rhymed it off, they know it in order. Daunting. If you're new in the faith, you probably have this. You see a seasoned Christian just flipping to these verses. I'm like, I'll never get there. I don't know how they're doing it, right? So we do these surveys just to begin to get the Bible accessible to us. Lay out how it's put together. The spiritual gifts, of course, you've heard much said about that. These are topics. Lord's Day service, a lot of people come to Westmount and they're like, why do you do the things you do? Well, this course is designed to help us think through that. Church governance, how are you governed? What is the system, the way that you are led? Prayer, the very practical things. I mean, I would suggest it's much more than just a practical thing. It's essentially a theological endeavor. But you understand what I'm saying, that we all pray. Baptism, Lord's table. We deal with the ordinances in this class. Evangelism, obedience, and God's will. These are just some of the topics that we cover that are flowing out of those main pillars. So you can see in this slot, in fundamentals, we're looking to be comprehensive and robust, to equip you, to train you, to make disciples that are growing not only in the knowledge of God, but also along the way in their understanding of how the Word of God is put together. right? Where books are, where verses are, and so on. So what's involved? What is involved? I know this can be daunting, but I want to at least lay this before you, because many of you would say that my education years are well behind me, right? And I'm with you. I'm with you, as many of you know, especially on a day like today, I'm with you. Getting older, those days are long gone. But as a Christian, they never end, right? As we just saw in Scripture. In one sense, you're always a student. In fact, if you're a disciple of Jesus Christ, who knows what the word disciple means? Anyone? Yeah, Linda, you're in the ballpark there. Actually, let's flip it this way. Learner. A disciple is a learner. Jake? Well, yeah, discipline. Robert?
It's Latin for student.
Yeah. In its heart, let's put those, Linda, Jade, Robert, let's put that together. A learner. A disciple is a learner of Jesus Christ. And let me ask you something. Does that ever end? No. So here's the stuff, and I want you, let's do this together. Let's wrestle together. It's going to mean if you're in this class, it's going to stretch you that way. It means you're going to have quizzes. We'll get to that, because some of you are like, okay, where's the door? It means you're going to have homework. Oh, perish the time, right? Memory verses. We're going to have the things, and I like to do this more for me, the things that you prayed this morning, oh God, make me closer to you, make me a better follower of you. God answers the prayer, and we say, well, I didn't want it that way. In fact, I have a way that I can do it out to draw closer to you. No, the well-worn paths, right? These are the well-worn paths. So, by the way, to let you off the hook, because we're going to do a quiz right now. Everyone, do I need the Mikeys out on anyone? Or do you do a quiz right now? So what are quizzes in this class? Some of you fundamentals veterans know all about this. We do pre-quizzes. Because for Jerry and Jeremy and I, to help us in our teaching, is to know where you're tracking. Not to collectively go to Tim Hortons and laugh over answers, because I have worse answers than many of you, right? And that's why I'm here. My heartbeat is I didn't know. Someone had to teach. That's my heart, that we need to be taught. So pre-quiz is like, where are collectively, there's a temperature in this room. We don't want to waste our time if you know these things already, but if you're wondering about these things, we drill into that. Does that make sense? So a pre-quiz helps us to do that. Now, we're going to do one in a moment, and you'll see. I don't want you to spend time on it. You literally, the first answer that comes to mind, right? And you put it down. And beloved, do it with freedom, knowing that we are here to help you as you're here to help us. Workbooks, if you don't have one of these already, you should. Carrie's got some there at the back. You see them beside Jerry as well, too. Please, I want to say this more impassionately. You have not taken this course if you have worked through this book. It's essential to work through it. Why? We have far too many auditory inputs. We get entertained that way, don't we, with no output. True learning is I took it in, and I'm going to tell Robert and Sherwin and Mike, okay, this is what I've learned. I've told this story, how many times, guys? 1,000 times. I remember being in seminary, and I took in things, and I'd come home around the dinner table, Carrie's there, and I would try and regurgitate it, right? Or try and talk about the things like this. She'd go, what? Well, no, I didn't sit and I didn't think about it. So she didn't understand what I was talking about. I needed something like this to do an exercise, to do an output, to think about it, So this is a help. So please, if you are going to take fundamentals this year, I would say this because I love you. You must go through this book. You two do each lesson. There's only 13 lessons. Slot out. Can you give an hour a week to study for the Lord? Can you do that? We can do that, can't we? Take an hour, study God's word, be blessed, see things, have those aha moments, have the Lord open your eyes to behold wondrous things in his law, right? Go through this, and then when you come into class, hand in the lesson. We'll have Carrie and Blake. You got to take your brother's shoes this year. Carrie and Blake will be taking those things in, right, when we come into class. And then we will give it back to you. Not to, again, this is not an exercise. I can't believe you answered that. To help. Okay, does that make sense? So we're gonna take a break in one moment, and if you don't have a book, as we're doing the quizzes, Carrie's got them there. They are $10, by the way, $10. That helps as well, too. Go ahead.
And the design is to do the homework before the lesson.
Yes, thank you, Rebecca. The design is that. Now, we are in lesson one, but we have 3 weeks in lesson one. So you have 3 weeks to do an hour or more of homework for lesson one. But yes, Rebecca, and then you can get on to lesson two. And that way, you come with questions. You come with a tilled bed of soil.
So that's homework, and then memory verses as well. Whoops. You get a memory verse, one, for each lesson. It's 13. That's it.
Many of us testify to the gold mine that is memorizing Scripture. Not just in growing in the knowledge of God. How many would say the defense mechanism it is as we live in a world like we do today?
So I encourage you, wonderful verses, and they're in the beginning of each of the lessons. And then a supplementary sermon. These are excellent sermons that just complement the material.
We have many ways that we're doing that. Memory verses, sermons, workbook material, class material. Put it together to be a composite of the lesson. Does that make sense? So far, I cannot more strongly encourage you, without you running up and tackling me, to go through the homework, to put in the effort. Beloved, let's pretend it's January 1st. You're like, I just want, this is my resolution for this new year as a Christian. Let's make that happen, right? And you know, the good news is you only have 4 months of the year left, right? You can definitely do that in 4 months.
Any questions on that? Any questions at all? Now, if you don't have a book
and you don't have the money with you, please still take one. And we can take care of the money after that way. You at least get going with it. That's what we would say.
All right. I'm going, yes, Anne.
So if we miss a week, we're going to do the plans next week. Do we miss a week?
Yeah, excellent question.
So I'm going to say this for everyone. Anne asked if we miss a week, and I love this first class diligence, which is great. Because you may miss a week for something. Again, Mike and Anne are going away, they're going to miss a week or two. We are recording the lessons, and in fact, you see past lessons on the website already if you go there.
Under, I believe, Daniel, where's Daniel? The resources tab, right? That's where it is. It's under resources, the FOF lessons. All right.
I believe so. Resources.
Resources, fundamentals. We have past lessons. We're recording these lessons.
So Mike and Andy should be up soon after. If you do miss a class, listen to the lesson. It will be of great help to you.
So that happens. But everything that you fasten your seatbelt and stick to it, right, and persist through. It's amazing how life can kind of bring us away from the important thing. So, yeah, listen to the lessons and track along with us. Jade.
Right. If we submitted some lessons from previous times
that
we have, we have to
resubmit them. What's that? You haven't what?
Received
them back?
Basically, I'm wondering if I have to buy another book. I submitted some from previous times without the ones, but I didn't finish the whole thing.
Exactly. So I would say Jade's asking, if some of you are in here, and this is actually more than we know, that have submitted partially some lessons, yes, I would say do it again, because we like to have you do at least it two times. Now, if you've done it twice, and we've already talked to some are in here supporting family members and so on, look, we're not here to be taskmasters either, right? So Tyler, Dustin, Janine, we're not looking for you to reinvent the wheel again. But yes, Jane, we would say twice, and you'd be amazed by your own testimonies how different sometimes those can be from year to year. Does that make sense?
Good one. Okay, let's begin bibliology with the time we have remaining. This is just meant to open us up to a study of God's Word. Go to 2 Timothy 3:16. You know this verse, many of you. 2 Timothy 3:16. Someone read 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 for us. Mike, go for it.
All Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be competent, equipped for every good work.
Okay. I would submit to you those two verses are teaching us two fundamental things. What are they? Two fundamental things. One's in verse 16, one's in verse 17. What are...
God.
What's that?
It comes from God.
Yes, Lord. Number one, here's the premise. The book in your hand, yes, this is not gimmicky, look at it. It is from God. Those words that you're looking at, inspired words from God. You have it in your hand. How many people say, I wish I could hear from God? What a blessing, right? Right now, every morning, you can hear from God. Really, it's the way that he's left us to hear from God in this administration, through his word. Number one, good one, Laura. What's the second thing we learned in verse 17? In concept, in principle.
Thoroughly equipped.
And we would say, not only are thoroughly furnished, as the King James says. Don't you love the King James? Thoroughly furnished. Complete. That the man of God would be complete. So let me ask you something. Is the word of God sufficient for your life?
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, you're going to nod your head at 9:37 on a Sunday morning, but this week, do you believe it? Right? Do you believe it? I say this all the time, too. It's not, there's no chapter in Genesis on how to change your tire, right? Or cook up a stir fry. That's not what we're talking about. But the soul maladies that affect everyone, it's in there that the man of God would be complete. And I want to exhort you, brothers and sisters, do you believe that? Do you truly, or do you say, I need a professional? I need to outsource that. Or do you say, I need to get into my word and grow in Christ's likeness for my soul maladies? Does that make sense? So a bibliology, which is a study of God's word, must begin with those two fundamental premises. So let's do this together. Let's anchor them in our head. The book in front of you, the words, right, are from God, breathed out by God. And two, they are sufficient. Those 66 books, those words in each one are sufficient for you to live a life under God. Does that make sense? This is our bibliology, just really in sum, right there. All scripture is breathed out by God. So let's look at the Bible together. God is noble and intends to be known. Isn't this amazing? Maybe some of you know Genesis 1:1 off by heart. We'll be there, obviously, in a few minutes, the next couple of weeks. Who wants to read it? Genesis 1:1, or who knows it? You probably know it off by heart.
In the beginning,
the heavens and the earth. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Why do we know that? Because God revealed it to us, right? There is a God, and he decreed that he be known, right? And he intends to be known, and he gave us a revelation. Now, we're going to talk about revelation in a moment. This is not some mystery where, like, I kind of feel like there's a deity out there. I'm just not sure. He gave us revelation. He intends to be known. And God has made himself known. Who's going to read Hebrews 1, 1 to 2? Read that verse. He has made himself known to us. Someone read that. Men and women, we get ready for that in our studies this fall as we study the book of Hebrews. Who's got that?
In the past, God spoke to our ancestors, to the prophets, at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom also he made the universe.
Verse tells us God spoke through the prophets. He spoke through Christ. God has made himself known. He is a revealing God. He wants to be known. I mean, I think that's a great motivation if you're struggling in your personal devotion. And you wake up in the morning, there's a thought to just couch your time with the Lord. God wants to be known. He wants to reveal himself to you in that morning, in that evening, with your family, in the church, and so on. And God is not hidden. He's not silent or distant. This is not a false deity. We're groping around trying to understand if he even wants that. But he created time and space, and we're going to see this in Genesis, and he entered it. Well, as we saw later in Exodus. He created time and space, part of revealing himself through that creation, which we're going to talk about more in a moment. And he entered time and space.
The eternal entered the temporal, right? Incredible stuff. God, and let's again, as we look to distinguish and demarcate the true religion, Christianity, from all other religion, this one is huge. God is an infinitely personal God. I love the testimonies of people coming out of false religions, of a distant, apathetic, indifferent, capricious deity. You're telling me the God of the universe cares about me and wants to know me? Yes, we already know you. And it's about you knowing him. What a beautiful relationship. This is the heartbeat of all true relationship, isn't it? Knowledge of one another. And this is how God works, because he's the author of relationship. He is not distant, again, but a God of relationship. And God is the God of fellowship with a person of simple faith. It doesn't matter. There's no letters you need after your name. There's no special brain power. We can sum it up as Jesus said, do you believe? Yes, I believe. God, it's a relationship with a person of the simplest faith. In fact, I struggle with that term, but I think it communicates something to us. We need to shatter this sense that only Jason or Jerry or whoever else is teaching on a given morning can know God. In fact, in some respects, right, you guys can know God not only just as much, but even more, right? Getting into your word, praying, all of these things, right? God wants to be known, and he's a very intimate God, and he wants fellowship with, of all kinds, let's say it that way. God draws near, Exodus 3, I have come down. That book of presence, God comes down. Isn't that amazing? You weigh that against Allah and Islam, right? Where is he? I don't know, and he may be, and I hope. Heard that recently, talking with Levi about some of the beliefs that they have. I just hope. I can't know him, I can't feel him, and I just hope it's going to be okay. God says, I've come down, right? And he gives you assurance, Christian. Oh, it's beautiful. So let's talk about this idea of revelation. Revelation is an uncovering, a making seen or known, something once unseen, unknown. Think about the curtain being pulled back to reveal something. That's your picture of revelation. Something previously unknown being made known. That's revelation. Does that make sense? That's what revelation is. Very important for a bibliology. It was once unknown. God pulls the curtain back and makes it known. I think, Jerry, you used a great illustration of the waiter, right? Pulls it off and like, ta-da. They cooked it up in the back. It's previously a known thing. There it is. I'm going to reveal it to you. So let's talk about general revelation, because we're going to look at two types of revelation. And this is, again, very simple, very fundamental for this morning. General and special. Let's look at general first. What's general revelation? General revelation is the non-verbal, makes sense, right? Without words, disclosing of God's existence, so revealing God's existence and perfections. That just simply means that he is, and this is who he is, to all people by means of nature, conscience, and history. Does that make sense? Non-verbal, right? This is not the written word in front of you. This is through non-verbal means. He has disclosed his existence and perfections to all people. General revelation, here's the key, is revelation that's accessible to all people at all times. You talk about unreached peoples, and we all should have a heart for unreached peoples. They know that there is God, right? That's what Romans 1, Romans 2 makes very, very clear. It's accessible to all people at all times. There's not something specially needed for this kind of revelation, this general revelation. If you are here for our study in Romans, we went through this in Romans 1 and 2. That is general revelation, looking at creation, right? Looking at creation and seeing the attributes and perfections of God. We're going to study the animals in Genesis. One of the things I've been learning through my own sons is they teach science and biology is the attributes of God in the animal kingdom. It's not just the ferocity of a shark and so on, or the magnificence of a butterfly wing. It is God's perfections and attributes on display. That's general revelation. And by the way, and I'll mention this a bit this morning too, no one can look at those things. What an accident. How did that butterfly wing come together? What an accident. Right? How did the cells in that rhino do that? No. You know there's a designer. You know there's a God. And it should cause... Oh, Daniel. Yep.
Just a clarification, perhaps, yeah. Seeing that you also included history, it is clear that general revelation from what you said is what is created. Would that apply to the things that man has created? History appears to be one of those things. Does general revelation fall under the things that man has? For example, a building. Is there something that a building constructed can show us something about God?
Yeah.
Certainly fallibly, but I just wanted to...
That's a very good question, Daniel. Hopefully you all heard it, this question, right? That in history, man has made things. My answer to that simply would be, Daniel, the fact that man, created by God, can do those things, right? He's an image bearer, right? He's exuding these qualities of God, points to something more. I think in and of itself, right, that's not general revelation, right? Because it's man doing a work. But where did man, we say things like, where did man come from, right? We look at the characteristics of man outside of, say, fallen nature. The fact that he can, we're going to talk about technology in Genesis, arts and science, right? And the birth of those things. I think, yeah, in and of itself, they start somewhere, they come from somewhere, and we can image God in those things. Jerry.
I just wanted to say, I think one rule of thumb that I use is revelation has to be sourced from God.
Mm.
It cannot come secondarily from a given being.
Yeah, excellent.
So that's one way to...
Yeah, hopefully that's good, Jerry. Daniel, that will help. It has to. It must. By its very nature, it must to do that. Now, again, we have revelation that has been revealed to us, and we're doing things with these things, but ultimately, in the beginning, God, which we will look at. Very good. Yeah, Robert.
In general, revelation is accessible to all people all the time. Why do we have atheists?
Sure. Yeah. Well, Romans 1 answers that question, right? What does Romans 1 say? Why do we, Robert, excellent question.
We have fools, not atheists.
What's that?
We have fools.
Yeah. Psalm 14.
Psalm 14.
Yeah, we have people, and I know, because I was in this camp before I was converted, that know there is a God and suppress that truth. Because it's very convenient when I'm living the life I want to live to deny that there's a God. In fact, how many of you relate to this just before you were saved? God is grossly inconvenient. And maybe as a Christian, when you're living in a way that's wayward, you're like, I don't have time for the standard of God right now. Because really, there's things I need to do. Yeah?
Can you repeat what you just said? God is what?
God, well, I'm talking about Romans 1. The reason Robert's question, why is there atheists? An atheist is someone that is suppressing the truth, general revelation, in unrighteousness. That's what an atheist does. In fact, we are short on time. You listen to atheists. I love the one comment Richard Dawkins has said, right? Why didn't God reveal himself to me? He was asked about that. And it just, every atheist you talk to reveals the fact that they do know deep down. The issue is they're suppressing that truth. They don't buy that they don't believe. Jerry?
Just anecdotally also, there's been no discovered tribe that has been atheistic.
Mm.
So atheism actually is a product actually of civilization.
Yeah. Yeah.
But there's been no discovered tribe, at least anecdotally, that is actually atheistic.
Great point. And it has some dressing. They'll believe in something,
yes,
or a deity. Right, because, and we would say general revelation points them to that.
You say, very good. So yep. You have to go to school to be an atheist?
Yeah. Oh, Tyler. Tyler said you have to go to school to be an atheist.
Yeah. And for those of us of my vintage, you know exactly what he's talking about. Man, I had to de-indoctrinate myself from all this. Yeah.
Just to say, my youngest brother claims he's an atheist.
Mm.
And we try to understand what his reason is based on. That to me, it's either caused by disappointment.
Yeah.
Disappointment in his life. I don't know the real answer to that one.
Yeah.
It's either rebellion against God, or it's disappointment, or who knows what it is. But
yeah.
I don't believe there's such a thing myself. You can make those claims, but I don't support that view at all. To me, it's if you just not to believe in God, that's kind of your religion in itself.
You know, Mike, I want to springboard off that again. I know we're challenged to say this because this is my own experience. and my wife knows this, 9/11. Disappointment is rooted in experience and expectation. If you believe there's good in everyone, if you believe you're owed good things, you'll be disappointed all the time, won't you? Is that not, like, to me, I had to be trained to understand, the, and that's why we're going to Genesis, the beginning of sin, the beginning of suffering, the beginning of man. God made man perfect and said, what? It's very good. We mess it up. So if I have an expectation that's off of what Genesis teaches, I'm going to have a very miserable existence, right? I feel I'm owed things. Here's a classic one. The fact I have a bad day, based on what standard? Nathan, you can say to me, "Did you? Well, why do you think you deserve a good day?" Right? You know, the suffering, disease. I love our blessed Deacon Billy. He always says this to me all the time when he has sickness happen to him. He doesn't say, "Why me?" He says, "Why not?" That's really good, isn't it? Not like, why not? The curse tells us, all of us, are susceptible to these things. So anyway, yeah, on that point, we could speak for the rest of the morning on all these things. We need to move along quickly. It should elicit this response, you know, this hymn. For all the things you might say about it and experiences, one thing I love is it should elicit, when you look at your creation, it should elicit that kind of response. That kind of response. Was it you, Tyler, recently that was saying you wanted to see a sky? Have you ever been in a clearing and looked up at a sky and seeing that white band, and seeing the stars, you know what I'm talking about? Doesn't it cause awe in you, right? It's just incredible to see. And there's even more there than we can see with our naked eye. General revelation, and we've talked about this, so we won't belabor it, that's not the response. Romans 1, 18 to 25, Romans 2, 14 to 15, mankind does not respond the way that he should to the revelation. Now, we need to end and talk about specific revelation. So that's general, non-verbal, right? To all people, all times. Specific is given for particular people at particular times. Someone grab Romans 16, 26, because we've looked at Hebrews 1 already. Specific, as its name points us to, is special. It's pointed. It's got a direction, a specific direction. Someone read that.
But has now been disclosed and through the prophetic writing has been made known to all nations according to the command of the eternal God to bring about the obedience of faith.
So you see there the very specific word that was given, the revelation given there. And what is that? Of old, this would have been through what's called theophanies, manifestations of God, dreams and visions. You think about the Old Testament patriarchs, signs and wonders, angels. Think about Israel and the Exodus, Isaiah, Mary, specific revelations of God to a specific people in a specific time. Not to all people, a specific amount of people. Does that make sense? That's specific revelation.
Well, even on Jerry's point too, on atheistic cultures not being like the norm, like even you'll see with Noah and his sons, right? I mean, we have a common, like he says, the Lord God of Shem, the Lord, the God of Shem, blessed. Like there's a knowledge from the beginning of the knowledge of God as well, specifically, but over time in terms of that continued specific revelation, different in general.
And it comes, that's good, Tyler. And specific revelation with that, tied to that, right, kind of fills out who God is and addresses our main human plight, right? Salvation. So yeah, we, in one sense, need specific revelation, right? We need it. So let's look at this quickly. I know we're running out of time. 2 Timothy 1, someone grab 13, 14. 2 Timothy 3, 14 to 17. Just a few more minutes and we are done, but I have two of you read that. 2 Timothy 1, 13 to 14.
Follow the pattern of the sound words that you have heard from me in the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. By the Holy Spirit who dwells within us, guard the deposit entrusted to you.
Yeah, so what does Paul not say to Timothy? There is a God, rah-rah, right? Feel good today. Whatever you feel about God, what does he say? Follow what?
The pattern of the sound words.
And beloved, I would say the same to you. Follow the pattern of the sound words.
Because tomorrow morning, Monday, is not today, and you wake up feeling very much not like following God. Right? So you don't follow your heart. Can we shred apart that Disney clip? Like, don't follow your heart. Right? Follow the pattern of the sound words, which transcend our emotions and our feelings. 2 Timothy 3:14 to 17. Who's got that?
But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it, and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work.
Okay, so see the connection there? Words. These divine words, these inspired words, you're to follow them. And here Paul lays out to encourage young Timothy. This is Paul's last letter. To encourage him. Also, these are not just great rah-rah words, I use that term. These are God's words. So follow them as the ones before you have, right? You follow them as well too. So the Bible is the authority then of our faith and practice. As the special revelation that it is left to us in this administration, right, with the ascension of Christ, one divine author, the Holy Spirit, given through different human writers. 2 Peter 1:20 to 21, if we had time, we'll go through that a bit more, but you can look that up. Talks about men were moved, carried along by the Holy Spirit, right? Giving divine words through them. God communicated through men by way of their context and human struggle. Have you ever been struck by the Psalms? David's struggle, God has given divine words through him. That's a sovereign God, by the way, to take that struggle and give inspired words. Think of Psalm 3, the great example of that. And we would say this, both human and divine, right? Human pens, divine authorship, make inspired words. Does that make sense? So these are not special men, glowing men. I know the old paintings have stuff around their heads and stuff. These are, the words are inspired, right? Paul was brought up for a time such as this, but it is the word and the word alone. On those original autographs, those original Greek Hebrew words, those are the inspired words. Does that make sense? Okay, we'll end with this, Psalm 19. Just look at Psalm 19 in survey. And based on what we've learned today, what do you notice at? Scan it with me. If we're talking about general revelation and specific revelation, tell me what you see in Psalm 19. Just give it a scan. Let's do this exercise to close.
The heavens declare the glory of God. So that's the, what did you call it, nonverbal.
Yeah, Laura, good. General revelation. Laura, excellent. The heavens declare the glory of God. In fact, if we follow that all the way down, we could say to verse 6. What else do we see in Psalm 19? What do we see?
General revelation has no words.
General revelation has no words. The heavens declare the glory of God. And in fact, listen to the specific words. Day to day pours out speech, which is a figure of just simply saying the creation itself gives testimony to this revelation. Excellent. Nonverbal. Laura, Jerry, good. What else in Psalm 19? Yeah, Ed.
The law is perfect, refreshing for the soul.
Yeah. And where have we heard that? If you were to keep reading, the testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart, and so on. That sounds an awful lot like 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, doesn't it? Specific revelation. The law of the Lord given for a purpose. Right? Remember, the law of the Lord was given at a specific time. So we have in Psalm 19, and this is just a closing picture this morning, of general revelation, nonverbal, heavens declaring the glory of God, and the verbal law of the Lord, the words inspired, given to us at a specific time and a specific place. And by the way, again, we need to close with this. Scripture is given to know God and to be transformed. You can note those verses. Beloved, I would say this, loving you, if the word of God is not transforming you, it causes us to reflect, right?
You should be arrested by the Word of God, confronted and convicted, causing you to change. But is that not true? No one ever approaches the Word of God. Yep, got that. Yep, yep. See that? Yep, sure. Okay, what's next? Jerry, give me another one. Yeah, I got all that. It's given so that you would be transformed into the image of the Son. Make sense? So that, let's keep that in mind so that we haven't arrived and we need this, okay? So let's leave with this. God has made himself known. General revelation, specific revelation. Scripture is given to know God and to be transformed. Next week, Old Testament survey. If you have questions, just because of time, by all means, come on up and ask. We transition now to our corporate worship upstairs. We're just getting started, so I hope you're excited with me as we return next week, okay? So let's pray. Father, thank you for this blessed time and foundations. Pray now as you take this information, plant it deep in us, that you would shape and fashion us more and more into knowledge of you and image of your Son. God, help us as we join our brothers and sisters upstairs. Let us lift our voice, Lord, and then give our lives as we leave later. For your glory, we pray. In Christ's name, amen.